Good morning, everyone. Let's come before the Lord. Father, we are joyful that we can come before you. We ask that you speak to everyone. In Jesus' name, Amen. Today, as like many weeks before, I'm still talking about disciple training. Now, if I say disciple training, some people may not find that very impressive. If I say doctor training, those who want to be a doctor, okay. And you have to be really smart to become a doctor. So if I say doctor training, wow, if I can train you in 1 hour, I think this room will be crowded with very smart people. We want to be doctor. If I say lawyer training, accountant training, I think this room, again, will be filled with people. Because many people want to do something great. Many people want to get a good job. If you like piano, I'm saying pianist training. If you like badminton, I say badminton training class. Whatever you like, people. Disciple training, what is disciple training? I don't find this topic very interesting. But if I say tennis training, Tim will be, I will go. So if I put, some people know exactly what they want. I want to be a doctor, I want to be a pilot, I want to be a president. Some people have different dreams. Anyone has such dream? No one put up their hands. So I guess I'm just like many of you. I don't have much big dreams because I realize I'm not that special at school. I'm not that great in learning in classes. So all my life is just like that. I'm not the brightest one. Yeah, there are some good things, but yeah, it's not that easy. It's good to be a doctor, but it's not that easy. Maybe let the smart guys do it. I'll stay behind. I just find an easier way. I'm happy to be myself. I have no goals. Not very strong goals. Lower. I don't set my goals very high. I don't have... If you ask me when I was at high school, what is your dream? I have no dream. I'm like a drifter. I'm like floating, just like a jellyfish floating in the current. When the current goes that way, I just float along. People say, this is good, I just follow them. People say, this is fun, I just follow them. I'm just wanderers in my life. I have no idea what is good for me. I just want to earn a living, live an easy life, live a happy life. That's it. Disciple training, is it harsh? Is it harsh? I want to live an easy life. Easy life training, I will take. Yes, I want to go. Happy life training, yes, I will go. Disciple training, not for me. I wonder if you are something like that. What would attract you to become a disciple? So if I put disciple training, if I put a poster at the front, disciple training, guess how many people will come next week? I wonder how many people will come. Not interesting. But what is the meaning of disciple? Let's go back to the very beginning. Imagine I'm a fisherman, spending my life, most of my career is just, get more fish. Then if I get more fish, I build a bigger house. I have a good income. Then I can get a wife. My dream is like, just like that. But someday I heard about something about Jesus. He's the Son of God. He's the Lamb that takes away our sin. Christ, the Lamb of God that takes away our sin, yeah, He is good, He is important, but not really related to me. So, what do you want to be? I just want to live an easy life. I just want to be a fisherman. I just want to get a good life. But somehow, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee, I did not go to seek Him, but He came. I did not go to look for Jesus, but Jesus, in some way, come to my life. He saw two brothers, Simon and called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishing. And He said to them, "Follow Me, I'll make you an accountant." No. "I'll make you a doctor." No. "I'm running a disciple course. Would you like to come?" No. "I'll make you a fishers of men." What do you mean by fishers of men? How? Is that a good job? How much do I earn for being each year? Salary. How many holidays do I have? How many benefits? Do I get housing benefits? Do I get overseas holiday if I become fisher of men? And also, I don't know how. Is it difficult? I will make you. I don't know how to be song leader. I will make you. I don't know how to preach. I will make you. I don't know how to give testimony. I will make you. So many things we don't know about what He's trying to do in my life. What is the meaning of fishers of men? I have no idea. What is the meaning of to be a true disciple? Do I have to die for my faith? Do I have to suffer persecution? Is Jesus clearly telling us what would be the outcome if we follow Him? No. He did not tell us many things when we are called to Him, as if we are living in darkness. And even if He tells us to make us fishers of men, He particularly used the fishers of men because they are fishermen, of course, I think. And how can I be fishers of men if I cast a net among people? Do I draw them like that? Jesus did not even explain to them. What do you mean by fishers of men? How? I don't know how to do it. Am I good enough? I only have experience with fish. I don't know how to be fishers of men. So much worry, so much consideration in your mind. Does it affect my career if I be fishers of men? How come? I just want to be a simple fisherman. You want to change my life? You still want to change my future? You've got to be kidding. I want to live an easy life, happy life. What do you want with me? Follow me. What does it mean by disciple? Is it you are going to train me to do something? Is it being a disciple is do something, learn something? Yes, we will learn because He will teach us. But Jesus do not draw us. Come. It's a very good, I'll bless you and I'll make you fishers of men. I'll give you $10 million if you follow me. I'll give you a house. I'll give you a wife. And I'll make you fishers of men. No, Jesus did not put this as a deal. He only put one thing up, me. As if you want to follow me, that's it. But I want an easy life. I just want a happy life. But follow you, You? And only if you connected with him, then he started to do something in your life. Only with such relationship being built with him, trust him, love him, obey him, receive him. So it's all about Jesus. Being a disciple is not do something, read Bible. If you tell people, do you want to be a Christian? Then you have to read your Bible your whole lives. That's not very appealing. I have difficulty with reading books. I don't like reading Bible. Do you think people like reading books? Like reading Bible that thick? No picture in it? Do I have to go to meeting every Sunday listening to sermon? Who is speaking today? Oh no, not him. Does it mean being a disciple you have to go to church your whole life? We think of being a disciple as doing something. But disciple training, do what? Train what? Oh, Paul wants me to do this, Paul asks me to do that. As if being a disciple is doing. No, being a disciple is being someone with Jesus. This is disciple training. To be with him. We are called to a relationship with him. Not doing some works. The most important thing is not doing some works. Yes, we will do something. But that's not the most significant point. The most significant point is we are called to a relationship. When you accept Jesus Christ, Romans 10:9. I wonder how many are going to memorize that. We are called to receive him, confess that he's Lord. Relationship with him. Then you will be saved. Not because I'm going to read Bible, then you will be saved. I'm going to the meeting, I'll be good all my life, then you will be saved. No. Read that verse carefully. If you confess Jesus is Lord, he is Lord in your life. Relationship, then you will be saved. You are saved not because you are doing good. You are saved not because you are going to the Bible. Read the Bible. You are saved not because you go to attend a meeting. You are saved not because you baptize. You are saved because you have a relationship with him. And God wants that relationship with him. The name Jesus. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, Jesus. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. God doesn't need you to really need someone to help him and need you to serve him. He wants to be with you, God with us. Are you attracted? Are you jumping for joy because God is among us? Why do you come to the meeting? God is here. I'm joyful. I enjoy the singing. I enjoy worshiping the Lord together because he is here with us. God with us. In Matthew 28, the last three verses, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Now make disciples. So we are sharing, preaching, not because you okay, all right, I believe Jesus is the Lord. Okay, that's it. Thank you. That's it. I want to do no more than this. I only confess. Yes, okay, he's Lord. No, he wants disciples, disciplined, trained by him. Your whole life, he will be disciplined, following him, follow him. Of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is what baptism is about. Baptism is not telling people you are very good. No. Baptism is telling people, I want to follow Jesus. He saved me. He is my Savior. I will change. I will lay down my own life. I want to follow him. He is my Lord. I want to tell everyone that he is my Lord. That's why you go to baptism. Someone among us is going to be baptized next week. And I'm speaking this for her. Listen. You want to be baptized because you want to tell people not how good you will be in the future? No. You may stumble, you may fail, but that's not the point. It's an expression of your willingness to follow Jesus. Just like in marriage. I want to marry this guy. Expression of your will and your commitment to marry that man. Following Jesus is expression of your will to follow Jesus your whole life. And it's not something you should be ashamed of. Sometimes we ask you to do testimony. Why? You are not being forced by people to do it. You do it willingly. Because in your heart, in your life, you are touched. Somehow you know him. He changed you. So you want to follow him. Giving a testimony that you belong to him. Just like in matrimony, when you married. Sorry girls, I married this woman. I belong to this woman now. I have to say no to you girls. Even though you like me, sorry, I'm not available. As if you are telling others, now I only belong to this woman, this woman said, now I belong to this man. Nothing to be ashamed of. You are declaring your love to that person. So that's why we give testimony. It's telling everyone that you belong to that. You belong to Jesus. Imagine my child, my daughter. She did not dare to tell people that I am her father. I would be surprised. This is my daughter. But my daughter said, oh, I don't want to tell others that you are my father. I'm ashamed of you. No, you will say, this is my father. You will tell everyone, this is my father. This is my Lord Jesus. I declare to everyone so that you know from now on I belong to him. This is testimony about. You have the pride, you have the courage to announce this great announcement, important announcement, from now on I belong to Christ. You declare to the whole world. You would rather you jump on the loudspeaker and declare to the whole world, I belong to him. If your love is strong, there's nothing to be afraid of, nothing to be ashamed of. When you go to marriage, someone will ask you, would so-and-so, are you willing to take this guy as your husband or your wife? I do. Now, this is I do. This I do is the testimony. Telling people you are not ashamed of the Lord. You want to follow him. And after you baptize, of course, this is announcement. Not stopping there. You need to continue to teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And you then have to learn from Jesus. Learn the teaching. And notice what? I am with you always. So he's not giving you, all right, go home and read this, learn this, self-learn, lesson. You go home and study the Bible. I'll meet you every Sunday. I'll talk to you every Sunday. That's it. No. I am with you always. Monday, he's with you. Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday afternoon, Thursday evening, Friday midnight, he is always with you. This is disciple. Not just doing something, reading Bible. When you are not reading Bible, he's with you. When you are walking to school, when you are taking trains, when you are suffering in pain, someone is not feeling well today, he is with you. When you failed in tests, he is with you. When you are jumping for joy, you got something, he is with you. When someone fell, two people fell in love, why do you go to marriage? Ask the woman, why do you marry this guy? So that I can cook for him all my life? No, you are not focusing on cooking. So I can do chores at home for him all my life? No, you are not focusing on the chores. You are not focusing on cooking. You are not focusing on all this work. You are focusing to be with him. To make him comfortable, I'll do the chores. To make him happy, I'll cook something he likes. If he is happy, I'm happy. If I'm sad, he will share my sadness. He can comfort me. So, marriage is looking for a relationship. You are looking for the relationship, not looking for, okay, I marry this guy because he's rich, he is smart, he can provide me a big house. No, this is not love. You're looking for a relationship, a caring relationship, an intimate relationship that can only satisfy you throughout lives to overcome all difficulties in lives because of this relationship. So Jesus appointed the 12. Now I'm going to show you a lot of verses to show you that Jesus is aiming for a relationship with you. Not training you to do this for me. Oh, I need someone to help me. No one preaching the gospel. Please talk to that guy. You. Oh, I need more people helping me. No. Appointed the 12 disciples, they might be with him, always with him. Not only because when you have need, you believe him. Not because when you are high, doing good things, you're with him. And then he might send them out to preach and do something else. So, with him first, then he will teach you, equip you, comfort you, guide you, and then he can send you out to do something for him. Do something is not for helping him, is for your own good. We can serve him. If you train someone, you want him to grow. You want him to come to maturity. So Jesus sent them out to preach, is let them change their lives to become from weak to strong, from ignorant to knowing God. So God use you is our privilege. And when Jesus said, but you are those who have continued with me in my trials, in difficult times, you are there. When there are many people following Jesus, wow, the atmosphere is great. Oh, let's make him king. You are there. But when people, okay, I have no interest with Jesus, people departed. Right now there are 40 people, around 40 people here. Next week maybe 10. Okay. Would you still come to the meeting? Would you still continue with me in times, difficult times. Good times, you are here. Bad times, would you be here? Good times, you are serving the Lord. Bad times, would you still continue to serve Him? But now Jesus has gone, risen from the dead. He's now in heaven. But He's still with us. In John 14, I will pray the Father and He will give you another helper. This is the Holy Spirit, that He may abide with you forever. So do those who have accepted Jesus, you may not realize, but Holy Spirit abides, lives, dwells, lives in you. He will be with you, guides you, not just observing you. You lie again. Oh, you lazy one. Oh, you are not reading the Bible. He's not there taking a book, marking. Oh, Tim has not got to do the wrong thing again. Okay, later on you will know. Later on I will punish you. Now, He is there not to punish us, not to observe and make record, and then going to pour out His anger with you. No. He sent us the Holy Spirit because the Spirit of truth has come. He will guide you into all truth. So the Holy Spirit you received when you accept Jesus, He will lead us step by step. Help us. Guide us into all truth. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the life. How can I experience all this? How can I experience peace? How can I experience God is love? How can I have a glimpse of that truth? He guides you into all truth. And He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will tell you. He will guide you. If you tell me you are a Christian, you should experience that. He will tell you something. He will guide you into all truth. Just like Brother Matthew shared. Oh, he has got problem with his older co-worker with him. Difficult time. There are times that he's scared or fear. But God's words, Holy Spirit put in his mind the truth. Do not be afraid. I will be with you. And then these words come into his life. He found the strength. He found the comfort in him. The Spirit guides Matthew into peace. Out of fear. Because Matthew read Bibles. And the Holy Spirit used the Bible to speak to him. Joshua. Deuteronomy. In the Bible, the words, the Spirit can use the words to communicate to Matthew. And then Matthew changed. And I'm sure God will continue to work in his life. Step by step, Matthew will become stronger and better person. Day by day. Not because he's good, but because the Holy Spirit is there. Not just in him, but also in you. Holy Spirit is working in your life day by day. Do you believe this? Have you experienced that? Every time we have fellowship meeting, I invite people to come to share what Holy Spirit has done in your life. By the anointing you have received from him, anointing means the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things. And is it true? And it's not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. The Holy Spirit will teach you. So if you are a Christian, a genuine someone who has accepted Christ, you can experience Someone guides you. Someone comforts you, teach you, correct you when you make mistakes. When you are weak, He will strengthen you. When you are discouraged, He will help you. When you are in darkness, He will enlighten your way. He will show you the way and turns your life and makes you a better person. Because God loves us. When we follow Him, He will change our life. He will correct us. When He teaches you something, we need correction. And we need to be learning something new and be changed. He will correct us. Sometimes we treating people not with a properly, with a not a friendly tone or attitude, or even in our mind thinking, oh, he's mean. Oh, no, maybe he needs help. So God, Holy Spirit will work in your life, change you, which is more important than learning a skill. He's not teaching you how to sound leader. He's not teaching you how to do this, do that preaching. He's turning you to be a better, more like Christ, I mean. To be a person more like Christ. Your whole life wants to glorify God. Isn't this great? You're not learning a skill, learning how to do something. But your whole life, God is changing you. I want to point out again and again, discipleship is not learning, it is a learning process. That means we will make mistakes because we have gone the dark way all our life. Now we have to turn back. Think of the Bible, many people failed. David failed, committed adultery, and even planned to murder. Actually, he murdered Uriah. Moses made mistakes. Paul made mistakes. Peter made mistakes. He denied Jesus 3 times. So we fell, we stumbled, and Peter grieved. Oh, I denied my Lord 3 times in sorrow. Even Judas, with the money I betrayed an honest man, a good man. But the outcome is different. Judas hanged himself in his failure. But Peter, even though he failed, he repented. Because if he's good, no. Jesus reached out to him, warned him, when you come back, strengthen your brethren. So Jesus was well protected. Not because he can, but Jesus comforted him and led him step by step, come back to him. So if even Peter failed, I'm sure many of us, including me, failed in our lives. Maybe not once. Maybe not twice. Maybe many, many times. I remember once I failed, I got so discouraged. I said, "All right, I don't want to be a Christian anymore. I give up. Lord, it's too hard. I can't be perfect." But once I come to lunchtime, I'm hungry. When I sit down, look at the food. I plan to go my own way. I plan to give up my faith. But look at the food. God is still providing me with food. Oh, He even provide me food. Even I plan to go away from Him, He even provide me food. Then I feel, no, I got to turn back to Him. He is so kind to me. Even though I plan to leave Him, He still give me provide me everything I need. How can I be discouraged like that? So I turn back, I confess my sin, I turn once. I wonder, when you learn how to walk, how many times did you fall? Did you count? No, we lose count. And then you climb up again, walk. When you walk, you fell. What would you do? I will walk again. No, you just rise again and walk again. After many times you fail, eventually, some people say, if you fall down N times, all you need to do is getting back up N plus one time. Okay? You fall down five times, you walk back up. Is it five plus one? No. How many times? N times maybe, not N plus one. You fell down five times, you rise up five times. Okay? You don't have to count it. Nobody counts how many times they fail. But learn something. Oh, because I was not watching. I was watching the phone as I walked and I fell. So next time, learn something. Don't watch the phone when you're walking. Learn something, change, and then move on. God wants us to go on, move on. But sometimes people failed and they did not really learn what they don't want to learn. People sometimes just keep on living in darkness. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, in 1 John it talks about some people. They claim to be Christians, and yet their behavior says something different. They walk in darkness. Have you seen Christians like that? Do not be surprised. Sometimes even you may have done something wrong, and people seeing you doing the wrong thing, aha, you, so cold. So be honest. Actually, the Holy Spirit will touch our life and let us face, okay, I have sinned. I can't pretend to be okay, but yet continue living a lifestyle like that. We are lying and do not practice the truth. Just like Jesus rebuked the hypocrites. Don't live a double life. Be honest. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So whenever we have something wrong with the Lord, what would be the immediate effect? You may not even like to come among Christians. Because you feel, when you see Christians, they remind you the Lord. So when you have done something wrong, naturally someone tries to hide. Just like what happens in Garden of Eden. When you have done something wrong, you try to hide yourself. You something to cover yourself. So no one can see you. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So we can have clear conscience, we can have fellowship with one another. If one day you are not following the law, people, brothers and sisters may call to, sorry, I have no time, sorry, no. You'll try to avoid brothers and sisters. Actually, you need to repent and come back to walk in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Not because of your tears. Not because how sincere. I beat my chest. Boom, 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 boom. Okay. I cut myself. I bleed. No, your blood cannot wash your sin. Even your tears cannot wash your sin. Only the blood of Jesus Christ. Only the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. I don't know what kind of sin you can imagine, the worst kind. Blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, you deceive yourself. And the truth is not in us. So if sometimes when I hear people, Christians, so they use foul language, they acted mean, their attitude not very good towards one another, rude, mean, I really feel embarrassed for them. Do they feel it? Among Christians, you act as if you are very good, but behind, when you are not with brothers and sisters, when you go back to your home or you go back to school, you swear like other people. You use dirty words, dirty mind, foul language come to your mouth. Do you feel anything? I would feel totally embarrassed when I see someone walk in darkness. Sometimes, in the past, when I hear my younger, my daughters speaking unwholesome language, I always prepare to say to them, "How do you feel if I walk naked in front of your friends? Oh no, that's horrible. How do you feel if I walk naked? Oh, your shame, Father, don't do that. It will shame me in front of my friends. Don't walk naked." But when a Christian swearing, I feel all his ugliness from his heart comes out. This is a shame. I don't want to watch it. I don't want to have a part in dirty words. I feel ashamed. Do you feel the shame? If a Christian, loved by God, swearing, this is shameful. I feel ashamed. I want to have no part in it. If you don't want me to walk naked because it's a shame, you don't want to see me walk naked, please cover yourself. I would say, don't use dirty language, please. Like Christians, it's a shame. You are exposing your sin. You are exposing the hate, the dirt, the filth in your heart. Oh, I don't want to have a look at it. But it's still there. You have to deal with it, isn't it? So, how can we deal with all this sin? Now, my friends, if we want to follow the Lord, we are at learning process, we are going to make mistakes. Sometimes we will be stumbled, we sin, maybe again and again. But every time, we should know this word. If we confess our sins, just like a child has done something wrong, whenever he comes back to the mother or the father, would the mother kick him away? No more. I want you no more. Come near me. Depart me. Would our sister say to Elizabeth, no more, Isabella, go away, I don't want you. No. When you have, sorry mother, my fault, forgive me mother. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So remember this. This is a check written to us. Whenever we confess our sins, he is faithful, he can't lie. He has to forgive us all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, I've sinned, but not by my blood, not by my tears. I can do nothing, but by Jesus. If we confess, he will forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is a faithful saying we can put our trust in. So, that doesn't encourage us to sin, but that gives us an assurance that he will accept us, even though we make horrible mistakes again and again. He is always there, accepting us, because his love is everlasting. The Holy Spirit abides in us forever. Forever. Remember this. My time stops here. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. You called us to follow Jesus. You want us to build a relationship with him. And we are thankful for that. Yes, though we make a lot of mistakes, we stumble. We pray that in our everyday life, we will always turn back to you. And we will be learning in our daily life how to be with you, walk with you, talk to you, put our trust in you, and listen to you so that you can guide us and teach us into all truth, to change our life, to be more like Jesus. We thank you for this great love. We thank you for all the promise that you have given, that the blood of Christ can cleanse us from all sin. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A few announcements. First one, fellowship dinner, the first Sunday at Auburn, 5:30. See if you can come. You can bring a dish if you want. Second announcement, we are going to have a weekend away. Usually we have that in November, but this time we have it in August. So save the date. Hope to see you there. The third announcement, we are going to have a baptism meeting next Sunday afternoon, 1:45 at Lake Parramatta. And it's Jenny. This is Jenny. Stand up so everyone can know you. Yes, she's going to be baptized. What a great joy we have. We have another one to one more disciple willing to follow Jesus. So you can hear her sharing their testimony to show that he's willing to follow Jesus. Okay, so be there to encourage her. So now we have time for morning tea. Thank you.